What animal has been called both devil and deity, villain and gentleman, vermin and divine messenger? The fox occupies a singular position in human consciousness, neither fully wild nor remotely domesticated, neither hero nor villain in any simple sense. With 21 species scattered across continents, from the Arctic fox of frozen tundras to the fennec fox of scorching deserts, these creatures have thrived alongside humanity while maintaining an essential wildness that both fascinates and frustrates us. J.K. Rowling once revealed her patroness is a fox, describing it as mercurial, playful, and impossible to catch, a fitting metaphor for an animal that has infiltrated every corner of human culture, yet slips through our attempts to truly understand it. Why do foxes occupy such contradictory spaces in our imagination? Perhaps because they mirror something uncomfortable in ourselves. The tension between civilization and instinct, between what we claim to be and what we secretly are. Why do foxes occupy such contradictory spaces in our imagination? Perhaps because they mirror something uncomfortable in ourselves. The tension between civilization and instinct, between what we claim to be and what we secretly are. Modern scientific names reveal ancient prejudices. Foxes carry labels marking them as incomplete, false, or wicked, taxonomic insults disguised as Latin. Aristotle placed foxes at existence's opposite end from humans. Where humans possessed fluid warmth closest to divinity, foxes were cold, dark, and hard, like Earth itself. His real complaint was behavioral. He called foxes wicked and villainous for concealing themselves where empirical observation couldn't penetrate. Christianity reinforced this association, identifying foxes with the devil. Biblical references like Jesus calling Herod that fox cemented negative connotations. This worldview dominated Western thought for 1,500 years. When taxonomists like Linnaeus organized nature, foxes disrupted neat categories. South American species received names like Atelocynus microtus, incomplete dog with small ears, and Pseudolopex, false fox, as if nature had produced counterfeit versions. Our scientific language still reveals our struggle to categorize these taxonomic troublemakers. The Enlightenment brought radical reimagining. The Comte de Buffon's Natural History, 1780, transformed the fox from wicked beast to intellectual aristocrat. Where Aristotle saw incompleteness, Buffon saw genius and address. He described foxes possessing resources within himself and caching prey for gentlemanly sport. In an audacious reversal, Buffon aligned wolves with peasants and foxes with gentlemen. The creature Christianity condemned as Satan's servant became an aristocratic analog of refined humanity. Modern science replaced moral judgments with measurements. Rather than calling foxes bony, we classify them by skeletal structure. Yet foxes still resist easy definition. The Linnaean system made the European red fox, Vulpes vulpes, literally fox fox, the standard against which all others are measured. We've moved from calling foxes wicked to calling them false or incomplete versions of an idealized European standard. Different language, same underlying impulse, to force the fox into categories it persistently escapes. Mythology reveals our deep ambivalence toward foxes. Ancient Greece's Timusian fox terrorized Thebes until Zeus turned both fox and pursuer to stone. Aesop transformed the sphere into intelligence tales, with one fox claiming his mottled mind surpassed a leopard's coat, the Greek word poikilos suggesting iridescent complexity that subverts proper order. Christianity condemned this cunning. The second century Physiologus cast foxes as the devil burrowing into souls. European cathedrals depicted foxes dressed as priests preaching to geese, Satan exploiting the innocent. The Reynard Cycle, 1481, featured a troublemaking fox escaping justice through trickery, naturalizing belief in vulpine wickedness. Beyond Europe, foxes occupy positive boundary positions. Among Andean Quechua, the fox facilitates transformation as son of the puma and father to humans. In Asia, Kitsune and Huli Jing became shapeshifters moving between realms, often assuming human form, especially as beautiful women. Japanese people answer phones with moshi moshi because foxes supposedly cannot pronounce this phrase. Even in our technological age, ancient fox fears shape daily behavior. Fox hunting reveals how we project human conflicts onto animal bodies. By the 1600s, the fox was reduced from mythic force to vermin, uniquely Western thinking emerging from traditions viewing animals as soulless and fundamentally separate from humans. The sport evolved dramatically between 1753 and 1914, reflecting agricultural revolutions and shifts from aristocratic to bourgeois power. Early 19th century fox hunting symbolized aristocratic privilege to indulge in violence without consequences. Men like George Squire Osbaldiston, notorious for attacking anyone interfering with his sport, embodied this ethos. Fox hunters were rural counterparts to urban rakes, their heavy drinking and crude conduct tolerated as upper-class prerogative. But as the middle class gained power, the hunt transformed from violent excess to respectable sport. By 1900, artistic depictions eliminated the fox entirely, focusing exclusively on social aspects. The 2005 ban climaxed centuries of class conflict over who can hunt, own dogs and guns, and access land. The Labour government's intention wasn't primarily saving foxes, but realigning countryside control, just as Cromwell's soldiers once slaughtered royal deer to end royalist land control. Foxes were artificially maintained as bagmen to supply hunts, criticized as short-running dastardly traitors for being killed too quickly. Fox commercialization surged through fur in the mid-18th century. By 1785, when Gainsborough painted Sarah Siddons with a fox fur muff, fur dominated high fashion. Commercial value drove trappers to introduce Arctic foxes onto Alaskan islands as early as 1750, using islands as natural cages. By 1890, pioneers discovered foxes would breed in captivity with hollow logs for nesting. This ranching technique spread worldwide. Today, approximately 4.6 million fox pelts are taken annually, with 80% from fur farms where foxes live in small wire cages before being electrocuted. Modern processing strips fox pelts of distinctiveness. They're sold as fake fur, divorced from both natural origins and cultural significance. Beyond death, foxes gained commercial value through Reynard's roguish character. Old Speckled Hen Ale exploits this rakishly distinguished aspect, where the fox's proverbial lust for chicken becomes metaphor for consumers' thirst. Many brands incorporate fox logos, from Fox Racing to Fox Photo Labs. In the 1970s, Audi introduced a car called the Fox in North America, capitalizing on associations with swiftness while suggesting marketing cunning, offering imported luxury prestige at middle-income prices. The fox's mythic qualities became advertising tools, its wildness commodified into brand identity. Unlike domesticated animals, foxes resist our control. Red foxes carry strong scent and destructive tendencies, chewing through leather and wiring. Gray foxes remain perpetually half wild. The fennec fox is the rare exception. Most species reject the domestication that transformed wolves into lapdogs. This resistance explains foxes' ambivalent appeal. From slit pupils to subterranean habits, they represent what human cultures struggle to control. Aristotle considered them wicked for their chthonic associations. English fox hunting ritually reenacts Reynard's trial and execution. Yet narratives reveal our discomfort. We recognize too much of ourselves in the fox and too much fox in ourselves. We assert our humanness by suppressing our own vulpitude, even as foxes define the limits of human culture. In our controlled world, we need the fox more than ever, a reminder that some nature remains beyond our grasp. The fox survives at the edges of understanding, neither villain nor hero, neither wild nor tame. That impossibility is the fox's greatest gift, holding space for wildness in an over-domesticated world.